we're on. Oh, hey, wow. Hey, everybody. Welcome to your radios. You just heard me talk about B-Ball's Best Kept Secret, a fantastic hip-hop rap music mixtape from the very early 90s. With me to talk about it now, a very serious and accomplished NBA journalist who I assume has heard a rap song before, Sirit Sohi, everybody. How are you doing today?
Feeling extremely serious, like one of the most serious NBA reporters out there right now.
Like, you've covered real things. And I'm like, hey, what do you think about Dana Barros on this premiere beat? I'm like, all right, look.
I feel like everything is fake. All unless it's like actually real life shit, it's all fake. So it's all the same wavelength.
And that's the realest shit I've ever heard. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
How are things? Just generally. Good?
Yeah, things are good. It's very strange. You know, I feel like so I live in Edmonton right now, and my days are basically dictated by the air quality. If I can go outside, I usually have a pretty good day. That's pretty much how it's going here. What about you?
Okay. Honestly, LA, same. Not on fire right now. Feeling pretty good about that. I might even ride a bus.
Great. I learned a lot of new stuff from this video, what we call it.
I think I like to call them internet radio tapes.
Internet radio? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Whatever we want to call it. I learned a lot from it. First of all, I didn't know that was the Harlem Globetrotters actual music. That music has just been around for so long that, like, you know, it's just like in the ether. I just assumed it was like, you know, like classical music where like anybody can use it for anything.
Nah, I know what you mean.
At all times. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like I've heard it in ads. Even if I'd heard it with like Globetrotter stuff in the background, I think I assumed that was just like, you know, a producer putting that in. I had no idea.
Just a dude whistling. It's like hearing somebody owns Happy Birthday. Same. I didn't know, like, it has a title. Like, what do you mean? That's just dudes whistling.
Yeah. Yeah, except this we can actually use.
It's got a beginning and end. It's crazy. All right. The Harlem Globetrotters, I wonder who's getting the royalties. It sucks that they even made music before they could go digital. They're not going to see any of these, like, sound exchange numbers. They don't know what ASCAP is. It's kind of, I feel bad for the past.
Yeah, music shouldn't have existed until like 20 years ago. I think that's like the biggest thing I learned from this, actually. No, that's like, you know, I feel like there's a stepladder for all this stuff, right? Like, things get better and better as we go. Maybe 30 years, because I feel like the Shaq record was a breaking through a moment for NBA and rap.
I think the Shaq record is important. I wish he wasn't a pansy and he left Biggie's verse on the CD. But then I also understand, like, having heard the Biggie verse, like, yeah, he would have definitely lost whatever Mountain Dew money he was getting at the time if they heard that.
What was on there?
Well, it's not that bad. It's just kind of standard, like, I'm hanging out. I used to sell drugs. Now I just wear Versace shirts. But at the end, he says he's the devil, which I think would have done it.
Yeah, the 90s were a strange time. He should have had him on, though, because then I think so that came out in 93, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the album would have, like, just become it would have been an instant classic. I don't know. Was it an instant classic? I wasn't around.
It was a technical classic. I was like a little baby kid, but afterwards, it's like, it did go platinum, but it wasn't like...
It went platinum?
It went platinum.
It went platinum.
Shaq went platinum.
Shaq's debut album went platinum.
100%.
He didn't even need Biggie for it to go platinum. You know, I take that back then. He didn't need it. He didn't need it. He got, like, you know, he preserved his money and he got the platinum record.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a good move by Shaq.
Shaq, as we all know, the most shrewd businessman. The new Papa John himself.
How did we then not go from like this first album to like then him just completely veering off and only doing this, or at least like it being a big part of his career later?
I guess because he really wanted to win a championship. Because I think that's what happened. It was like he did too. And then it was like, all right, the Lakers keep losing in the playoffs. This isn't fun anymore. And then he just kind of just sat it down for a while.
I can see that. I can just see like the press tour not being as fun anymore and the fans just not being that into it. But it very much harkens back to like the idea of, you know, when players like post anything that isn't basketball related on IG and people are like, why aren't you in the gym right now? I feel like you could have done both.
Gyms aren't even open 24 hours a day, dude. You could definitely rap at some point.
Yeah, I mean, the studio is.
The interesting thing is Shaq stops rapping. Kobe starts rapping. That's what we get, the one with Tyra Banks.
Then Shaq starts rapping again.
Yeah, then Shaq. Yeah, as soon as they split teams.
Yeah.
As soon as he could, Shaq raps again as soon as humanly possible. Very interesting stuff. Especially on this day, Damian Lillard yesterday says he decides he's the best rapper in NBA history. That was my big news story yesterday, which, given the fact that Shaq went platinum, I don't know if it's fully true.
Yeah, you know, I'm just surprised that Dame didn't, like, Dame just seems like one of those old school guys that would have reverence for history. You know, I didn't see him being like, you know, the rappers now that are like, oh yeah, I don't care about the past. But damn, that's surprising. That's surprising to me. But you know what? At the same time, though, like, Dame has supreme confidence.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that Dame could do any of the things that he does if he didn't believe that he was, you know, the best.
This is true. And if he had happened to heard this mixtape before he said it, it makes even more sense. Like, those dudes cannot rap. Chris Mills, terrible rapper. One of the worst I've ever heard. It's some real bad stuff on there.
It felt like there's some good stuff on there too. Like, I'm very curious to, I didn't get to like listen to like everything, but within the snippets, like you mentioned, Cedric Sabala sounding just like Warren G. I think that's highly accurate. Also, you know, at a time for him that, you know, he wasn't very like very beloved for him to be talking shit at that moment, you know, interesting. I feel like that was one player who like just got to take heat check after heat check because no one else was around. So it's like actually just not at all surprising to me that he was on this record.
Yeah, I mean, just he rode the blindfold dunk as far as humanly possible.
Absolutely. I forgot about that.
I don't remember a single one of his stat lines. All I remember is he dunked with a blindfold on and we gave him a pass from that moment on.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point it was fine. The other thing that's funny was like the 1980s Lakers of all teams saying like don't do drugs.
I know. It's like, how could they exist without drugs? Like, I know. I mean, what is that team without drugs? It's just AC Green.
He's on that team.
You need five guys on the floor. It can't just be one AC Green.
Well, it was like, you know, I think history is interesting because like you get to see through lines into particular moments. Like, I wonder if this was the beginning of Kareem's career as like as an essayist and just moral arbiter for the universe.
He's in the studio like, this isn't for me. This isn't where I should be. I should be writing Veronica Mars. Have you seen any of those Veronica Mars that he wrote?
What? He wrote? No.
The reboot of Veronica Mars. He is a staff writer on the show.
Kareem is like an endlessly impressive human being, isn't he?
I mean, like, he's got to be number one on everyone's list. I don't see how you could not.
Were they good?
I don't know. I never watched them.
Like, did he get to like, was he a staff writer? Did he get to like, you know, be in charge of any episodes?
There's got to be something where it's, man, where's, hold on. How does Google work?
I think we found like the topic of your next episode.
Yeah. You know what?
Like, this needs to be your next deep dive.
And we got a backlog. You know, I've been out of the office for a couple weeks, personal reasons. I had to go to Antigua. I won't say why, but yeah, that should be at the top of the pile.
I just wonder, like, it could go one or two ways, right? Because Kareem's like a really smart guy. Either he has like these episodes that are like total after school specials where like the message he's trying to get across just like bludgeons you, or like, I mean, I could see him actually like maybe working with some of the writers and being able to like find a way to make it more subtle. I'm gonna watch this episode.
No,
I'm very curious.
I believe it's definitely it's for sure worth investigating. Much like the tape, I would say you don't need to listen to all of it. You need to hear how bad Jason Kidd is. He's definitely one of the standouts. Is not great. Gary Payton, his song is good. Isaiah Ryder actually could rap today. It's not that he's like great, but his flow and cadence is surprisingly modern. Chris Mills, Skip, Malik Sealy's song's not good, but RIP to the gods. So you got to play it and, you know, pour a little 40 out on the street for that. And that'll be my highlights. Oh, yeah. And if you want to cry, whatchamacallit? Brian Shaw. The B. Shaw song.
Brian B. Shaw.
It's so sad.
And what was that one about?
It's about how...
And also, like, at what point in the record did it, you know, was it, like, one of, like, the pre-climax? Like,
oh, yeah.
Or, you know, was it sort of towards the end where you're, like, you know, you're ready to be in your feelings?
It's the second verse. So the first, it starts, it's very normal. He's like, hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. It's B. Shaw. You know me. I play ball. I do all types of things. What's good? And then it's like something like he's just like very basic. But then in the middle, he's like, but sometimes life gets real. I lost my whole family. And then he like breaks down what happens. And then like the third verse is about how, you know, he's just living a day at a time and just trying to make it through. It's a wild ride.
That's actually really sad.
It's sad as hell. And for years, you're like, what is Brian Shaw doing here? No one knew what he was dealing with.
Yeah, and they could have. They could have if they had listened to the record, but nobody did. This is what that's surprising to me, too. Like, did you figure out why? Because you have a bunch of stars on this thing. Or I guess maybe it was actually the lack of star power. You had a bunch of NBA players on it. They didn't really have stars.
But they're not super duper star. The biggest star is probably Gary Payton. But this is early Payton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Seattle hadn't made a West Final at that point. And Jason Kidd's like a rookie. Dana Barros is like, all right. He's like the second best dude on like one of the worst Sixer teams. You know, when it was like him and, what's that dude, Witherspoon? I never knew his first name, but I had 500 of his basketball cards.
Who was he? Like, I imagine they tried to get Shaq. Who else would have made sense at the time to like make this thing pop? Like, was there anybody else that was really, really out here? I feel like right now, if you were to do this, like you could stack and it would crush.
Anyone, any team. Back then, no. If I'm the one producing it, I'm trying to convince Pippen. Let's get Scottie Pippen on a song. He seems prime for something like that.
That's a good way to look at it, right? Like, get the people, or you don't have to worry too much about like the musical part of it. Like, you know, you can take care of that, but get the people who will have something to say.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been therapeutic for Pippen to get some stuff off of his chest there.
He needed it bad. And then, you know, and then if it goes well, like, don't let it be a big success. Because then the next summer, now Mike's got a song. Mike's song is the best rap song ever made. He's got Kenny G on it somehow. 9 different producers. He's, you know what I'm saying? He might have invented auto-tune had Scottie Pippen had a hit rap song before him.
You know what else would have been really good? Also just for processing, but then you'd have like some sort of thematic resonance throughout. Like every single star who lost to Michael in the finals should have collaborated to talk about it, about like what they've been through.
Oh, We Are the World of Losers?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Can we do that right now with like everyone that hasn't? Well, okay, like actually we could look at it. Like there's one way to look at it. Like LeBron tried rapping for a bit, was like, you know, it was really just during the lockout season. It didn't really seem like he ever got back into it. And maybe that's because he was too successful. Like maybe he just didn't need a creative outlet like that, because it was just like, I mean, you know, I'm LeBron.
That's true.
But everybody else around him that hasn't won, like they could use it. Like maybe after 2015, like it would have been nice for LeBron to get some bars off. But other than that, I just can't really think of a time.
And then he decided to act. He went the other way. He decided Ice Cube Route B.
Isn't it crazy that he went from like actually doing a good job in like other roles? Like he was pretty good in Trainwreck to actually just being a bad actor in his own movie.
Yeah, he decided he was like, all right, now I'm going to try to carry one.
Mm-mm.
We didn't in Trainwreck. He was like, you get to just be yourself.
He didn't have the range.
He tried to show us the range, and it's like, all right, man, let's get back in the gym. Let's see what happens with Space Jam 3 now.
Yeah, he's like, my family doesn't like me. Ah. Like, he just didn't have the face. He didn't have, like, any of the appropriate faces to deal with, like, the emotional situations he was going through.
And as I have found out, emoting with your face is surprisingly hard. I have been on sets and people have been like, hey, Jermell, we need you to do something different with your face. And I have had to go back to them and say, hey, bro, I actually can't. This is all I have, face-wise.
Well, in fairness, you've been working on this for a while. I think it'd be hard for you to summon any surprise at this point.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I have listened to this tape way more than I ever wanted. But
how many times have you listened to it?
I ran it 5 times, just to be sure.
Is there anything in it that you're like, oh, that's smart, that was a good choice?
The Hip Hop Basketball Genie. There's an intro of a man's voice who just comes on and he's like, hey, what's up? I'm the Hip Hop Basketball Genie. And then he kind of just explains what's about to happen, but in like rhyme form. But then we never hear from him again. I think the Hip Hop Basketball Genie should have came back a couple times during the CD.
What did he say?
He was just like, he did it very like spoken word rap about like from hip hop, from the black top. I rock it till you don't stop. Aha. You know, he did like one of those. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, okay, I get it.
All of this sounds like it's like, because it's not, but like all of this sounds like it's like white people trying to rap.
I'm doing a very bad job of explaining is what I'll say.
Okay. No, but just like, you know, like the rigidity of like the rhymes, like hip hop, black top, like it just feels very,
yeah,
like, you know, you're trying to get the technical parts right a little bit too much.
And that is hip hop in the early 90s. Welcome to the past. It's very strange. It's very strange to hear dudes enunciate every single word.
Yeah.
They really care about tone. It's like, why aren't you guys just on codeine saying whatever?
Just like hip hop and don't stop, just over and over again.
Basically, it's really not far off. A lot of similar songs just about how, you know, they played ball because it wasn't anything else to do. And I got really good. And now I work really hard and I'm focused.
Who would be like the best mumble rapper in the modern NBA?
Man, that's a great question. Serge Ibaka.
Oh, Serge just got such a smooth and luscious voice. Like, have you heard him speak before? He couldn't mumble if he tried to. I feel like he would be like a great R&B singer.
Ooh, okay. I mean, that's what I want to see. I want to see his R&B album. Honorable mention to who actually does do R&B? Why am I blanking on this? He's from DC. Just got hurt. Was on the Rockets. Got traded to Miami. Didn't play the whole end of last year. Was playing for Indy.
Oladipo.
What a singer.
Yeah, he sings. He's great. Yeah, he's a great singer.
What I've been waiting for Dame and Oladipo to put a song out together. Something for the ladies, you know?
Yeah, you know. Throw Serge in there.
I don't see why not, man. Give him a verse in like French. Mm-hmm. He definitely knows French.
Oh, yeah, he knows French. I think he knows Spanish. You could do some like, yeah, you could make some real sensual shit. Like they could make like a straight up sex playlist.
I think America needs it now more than ever. And I think we might need to start a fucking record label. All I have heard in these past 20 minutes or whatever is fantastic, out of the park ideas and concepts.
Yeah, we're just giving these away for free.
Which is fucked up.
Mm-hmm. But you know what though? Like maybe we can make it happen.
I got time. I know where to get those soundproof pads. You know, you can get the studio together. No idea how to make beats.
We both work for a podcasting company.
And we're halfway there.
That would be the issue, right? Like, would this, like should we maybe would have to merge companies. And then this could be a big enough deal to do it.
I mean, it sounds like we're breaking a story is Wired onto this? Who do we need to make a press release to? Variety? Podcast Weekly?
Oh no, I think we should think bigger than that. Honestly, I think the best move would actually just to do it and then release the press release on our own platform.
Dog. Yo, we for sure need a platform. Platform is the word of the year. Word of the decade.
It really is. It really is. Do you think it will end up being like the word of the year this year?
It has to be.
What do you think will be the word? Yeah.
I don't even know any other words.
What was the word of the year last year?
Sour Patch Kids is three words. So it wasn't that. I'm going to Google that.
Yeah. You know what? I've actually blocked. There are a lot of things. I've blocked them all out.
Yeah. Like last year.
There are too many words from last year because we learned so many new terms. We just learned so many new ways of understanding this world. Like, you know, social distancing. Mm. That would be, if you could do a phrase, that would be it.
My phrase that pays from last year, external microphone. Nothing more important in my life. Thank you, Blue Wire.
There we go. Zoom. There we go. Hey. Zoom. Microsoft Teams. All that
Zoom,
shit.
Great word. Also, great hip hop song. Shouts out to Boosie. Okay. Let me just want to close on this. Current NBA rappers. How many rappers in the league currently are you aware of, if any? Does it come up often in real press coverage?
I feel like it's one of those things that is strangely so common, but also under discussed. Like, everyone knows about Dame. But it's interesting though. Like, you know, we all want like more insight into certain players, and it's like we don't like listen to their music. Like, KD makes music. I think Kyrie makes music. We all know Iman Shumpert makes music. But like, you know, I'm already at Shump, you know, I don't personally even pay that much attention to it, but I do find it's like, you know, every time I'm going down the wormhole on a player, I'd say like, you know, 15% of the time you hear like, oh, and also they have like Lonzo makes music. A lot of these guys.
That's true. Lonzo put me on to a guy I'd never heard of before. That was really good. EST something, you know, these rappers nowadays don't have names that are words anymore either. It's all like initials or phrases or like binary code. But
yeah, it's like what Grimes named.
Yeah. My personal.
Yeah. Or they just go with their actual name.
That's true. Too. My personal favorite, Will Barton. Will Barton raps, and Will Barton, not a great rapper, but like, I would say Dame is better technically. Sound wise, give or take, but Will Barton sounds cooler. He sounds like how I want a rapper to sound. Like, he's got a bunch of chains on and he's holding a bottle of champagne and he just doesn't give a hoot. And that is what I'm looking for my hip hop experience. He doesn't go by Will though. He goes by, I think it's Thrill. I think the name is Thrill.
Just Thrill? Like, not like Will the Thrill?
No, just Thrill.
Not like Trill Barton.
Which also, he should have probably done Trill Barton. Trill Barton works and it travels well.
But it also, like, I mean, it would have worked. I think he would have aged out of it.
Yeah, it's true.
I like Will the Thrill. Because it's also a good basketball nickname, too.
Yeah, he kind of.
Even though, like, he's not really, like, thrilling. But, you know, if every once in a while he gets a transition dunk and you hear, like, you know, one of the Nuggets announcers just go, and Will the Thrill. Like, that's
a good time. Nobody minds it ever.
I mean, we should recommend this to him. We're giving away too many ideas.
Giving away jewels. All right. Let's chill. Too much free game being distributed. Thank you for coming on the pod again. Sir, do you have any plugs you want to give out to the folks?
Oh man, I don't think so. I don't really have a lot going on right now. It's August, you know, literally nothing is happening. You can, I guess, follow me on Twitter, you can maybe read me at The Ringer. Not, you know, if you want to go back and read something from like a long time ago, you can.
Sure.
But yeah, we do The Answer, which we're, you know, we'll start it up again at some point soon, but you know, surely.
Go back and listen to some old answers. Yo, the answer is a fantastic pod. I like listening to old NBA pods because you get it's like a feeling for all of the decisions. Like, I was listening to you talk about the Raptors run for the title. And I was like, oh man.
Yeah, we did talk about
it. It's just it's a nice fun little time capsule. And you get to hear who was right and who was wrong. I love checking people's facts.
True, true. Yeah, it is a nice snapshot of a moment. Like, I feel like I used to do that more with articles, but it's almost more honest looking back at an old podcast.
Bro.
Like, there's just, like, not as much hedging. And it's like, okay, this is exactly where we were and where, like, multiple people were thinking.
You were talking about who was going to get the minutes, Norman Powell or DeLon Wright in the 2018-2019 run. And I'm like, oh, snap. That was a thing that I actually did become a thing. And then there was an ad for the Robinhood app. I'm like, yo, this is insane.
Well, that's on us. We got to update those. So this was in probably December. DeLon Wright got traded. Was it right? Like, what did I say?
It was like, okay, so we got Kawhi now. The host of the show was like, so how's that going to affect everybody's vibe in the locker room? Like, is anybody going to be worried about their minutes?
Yeah.
And then dude was like, specifically DeLon Wright. And then you were like, yo, he just fits too well. He's going to play. He's going to get a deal. Like the host was kind of trying to be like, is DeLon Wright not playing going to fuck up team chemistry? And you were like, no. And then it didn't.
Yeah, but they did have to trade him.
They did have to trade him.
So
technically still.
That's a win. Not because of team chemistry, but like he did not have a good season. And like, I think I was wrong. I think it did impact him.
I was trying to make it sound right.
No, it's okay. It's all good. I was 100% off base with that assessment.
Because then you did. You were like, right, man, DeLon Wright's about to play. Like, and then you were like, well, maybe a guy like Norman Powell could like step up. Maybe.
He did. He completely stepped up.
Stepped up, stepped over. Hey, I count those. That's right to me. Once again, Sirit Sohi, everybody. Clap in your cars.
Thanks, Jamel. This was fun.
Thanks for listening to NBA Storytime. I'm your host, co-writer, and stretch three on the floor, Jamel Johnson. Harry Swartout is our producer, co-writer, and a man heavily invested in RecSpecs. Daniel Hartigan is our script editor and the guy who mops up after people who fall down under the basket. Devin Shepard is our associate producer and the only one who makes sure we all get on the bus on time. Thank you, Devin. Haley O'Shaughnessy is our consulting producer and leading the league in bench points. John Yales and Peter Moses are our executive producers, and they also insisted on calling their own fouls. Real good to you guys. Got an idea for a story you want us to tell? Leave it in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we'll put it in front of our Podcast Homeowners Association to see if we're allowed to make it sometime in the future. And I'm not repainting my fence. NBA Storytime is a Blue Wire podcast. Catch you next time.